We're going to pray, and then we're going to dive in. And listen, before we do that, next week is our scheduled third get-together regarding these topics that we're looking at in these topical messages. And I plan on ending next week and then going into a verse-by-verse study of the Bible, book of the Bible. But if there's a topic that is really pressing on your heart that's big time in relation to the things we've been talking about, then why don't you email me or get a hold of the church, and if the Lord leads, then maybe we'll cover that topic in the week after. Because once we dive into a book, we're going to stay into that book until it's done. But until that time comes, we're in between now studies, and I'd like to hear from you. And if something really grabs my heart and the Lord just burns it onto my soul, then we'll continue a few more weeks in these topical lessons and messages from the Word of God regarding being a Christian in our lives and God in our lives. So listen, let's pray and we'll ask God to bless it. Father, we ask that you would go before us now, make the Bible, your incredible word, to be living and active in our lives upon, Lord, the very tablets of our soul, that you would emboss, impress, stamp upon us a hunger for the word of God. And Lord, that we would also ask that you would open up the eyes of anyone tonight that would see the Bible as something old and dusty. The exact opposite's true. It's alive and it's going to tell us not only about our lives, but about the future. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless now the going forth of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to the book of Colossians. We are using the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 to 14 as our foundation for this little mini series that we're looking at entitled The Life in Bible Series. And that Life and Bible series tonight takes us to being a Christian in your relationships. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, follow along with me. For this reason, Paul the Apostle said, we also, since the day that we heard of it, that is of their faith as a church in Colossae, that we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, I love that, He's done it, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, translated us, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Awesome. Well, in these next few weeks, as we've been studying and looking at, we're looking at a topical series and how our Christianity plays out in our day-to-day lives. And soon we'll be going to a study, as we normally do here at Calvary, chapter by chapter, book by book through the Bible. But right now we're looking at taking the Bible off the pages, as it were, the printed word, and giving ourselves maybe a little bit of a checkup. How are we doing? How are we progressing with the Lord? And that is no more prevalent than in our relationships that we have as Christians. And last time together, we looked at what it means to be a Christian regarding our jobs, our relationship between our employer and employee, and how we should have a work ethic based upon the Bible and what the Bible spoke on that. And then tonight we're going to be looking at being a Christian in your relationships. Predominantly, I want to tell you right now, predominantly tonight, it is geared towards singles. It's geared toward predominantly younger people. Now next week we're going to get into the marital side of it. We're going to be looking at the home life and what does it mean to be married, and what do you do about raising kids and all that kind of stuff, communication. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk a little bit tonight on sex. We'll talk a lot next week on sex. So you're going to want to come early so you get a parking spot and a seat because of that. But we're going to be talking regarding a whole lot more. And so tonight is a little bit of a building block to where we're going next week. And I know that there are many of you that are single tonight, and you might say, well, next week I don't need to come. No, listen, next week you ought to come. Because you want to learn now what a marriage is all about based upon God's standard. And so, as I mentioned, tonight we're looking at being a Christian in our relationships. So listen, jot this down, be a note taker tonight, and commit it to memory. Number one, this is very important. Being a Christian in your relationships, put it this way. Point one, finding your mate, being a Christian and finding your mate. Now, I don't know about you, and I've been on vacation. Now, Dr. David Hawking was not supposed to tell you where I was at, but he did. I watched it online, and I cringed when he said it, because I wanted you to think I was sweating and laboring in the mission field somewhere rather than on a beach in Hawaii, but that's what had happened to me, and that was the time where Lisa and I had gone away, and it was great. Thank you for being concerned for me. We had a great time. And maybe you'll hear a little bit about that tonight mixed into the study. But we're looking at finding your mate. And the dynamic of that is vitally important. Because as you consider tonight, what is it about finding a mate? Now, let's be honest. And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But let's just take the general view of the Bible. Because inevitably, someone's going to come to me afterwards and say, well, Pastor, God's called me to be single and you didn't talk to me tonight. Well, listen, predominantly most Christians are called to get married. Not all. The Bible says some Christians, God calls them to be single. They're fewer in number. That makes sense. They're fewer in number, but God calls them to be single. And I just want to say this as a disclaimer tonight. God loves you. God is working in your life. Here's the deal. Pastor Jack, how do I know if God's called me to be single? Answer, if you love being single and you have no desire to be married and you're a faithful, Bible-loving, committed Christian, then guess what? God's called you to be single. If tonight you're single and you're saying, oh, I want to be married, then listen, God called you to be married. He's not evil. He's not mean. If you don't want to be married, you don't have to get married. And God put that in your heart that you don't want to be married. That's a thing from God. If you want to be married tonight, I mean, not married tonight, but if you're thinking, hey, I think I want to, you know, I have a desire. I have a need to be married. Then listen, that's from God. Don't sweat it. Don't freak out and panic about it. Number one, how do you find your mate? It's a very important thing. And by the way, as I was in Hawaii, I noticed people were fishing. And as they were fishing for certain fish in a certain way. For example, there were people out there for little fish along the shore. And they had little fish tackle. And they had little fish, what do you call string? Line. I'm not a fisher of fish. And they had little bait for little mouths. And they were catching little fish. And then further out, there were guys with these big, big charter boats. And they had gnarly-looking cable line that they were using to catch the big things. And so, why am I saying this? Because as a single person, remember, tonight, assuming we're all Christians here tonight, I'm just assuming that, there's a certain way being a single person and being a Christian, how you want to present yourself in life. Okay? Meaning, how and where you fish for your mate determines the kind of fish you catch or the mate you get. In other words, being a Christian, you don't want to go to Joe's Bar and Grill to find your mate. You want to know why? You're fishing in the wrong pond and you're going to snag something that you're going to want to throw back in the not too distant future. And a lot of people have made that mistake. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Being a Christian and finding your mate is a very important thing. Number one, jot it down. Here's the verse. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed in Hebrew. The word is happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to unbelievers about finding your mate. That means Oprah does not know who you should marry. Okay? Nor stands in the path of sinners. Dr. Phil cannot help you in this area. This is what God wants to speak to you about. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, MTV. They are not going to help you find a mate. Not going to happen. But his delight, that is the believer, is in the law of the Lord, the word of God, the Bible, and in his law he meditates day and night. That means he lives out the Bible in his life. This person, he or she is a real believer. Okay? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What a beautiful picture that is. That brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he or she does, it shall prosper. That's God's will for your life. Are you single tonight? God's will for your life is that you be super blessed and super happy. It's how you achieve that blessedness and happiness that makes all the difference in the world. The world outside this congregation tonight has taken relationships and has destroyed them, has ruined them. Everybody wants to watch the program, The Bachelor. Everybody wants to watch The Bachelor, and you see all this stuff going on. I know this now because I watched The Bachelor on vacation. I saw it. And my first conclusion was, why would anyone want to watch this? It was crazy because basically you see all these girls throwing themselves down at this guy and basically losing all respect for themselves to be just the slave to this guy. It's absolutely crazy. And my whole mind was, in fact, I was talking to the TV. Nobody was listening. None of the girls could hear me when I was saying, you should have more respect for yourself. And I want to talk about that tonight as we look at this. How do you find a mate? Well, number one, jot it down. Listen, you're going to marry the person you're dating someday. Who are you dating? Oh, just that guy, just that girl. Just that guy, just that girl will be someday the person you marry. Think about that. Now, unless you're Jewish or Muslim, where your parents are arranging the marriage, you're going to marry somebody you're dating someday. And that all starts with you going out with them or somehow meeting up with them. So to thank and to pray and to go to God's word, Christian, is the wisest thing you can do before you ask her or him on a date or to be together on a date before you say yes. You might say, well, Pastor Jack, look, she's so cute. What a cute thing. She's caught my eye. Now, I need to address this. This is real stuff. Christian, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. You're Christian. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you are Christian men? Raise your hands. Okay, how many of you are Christian girls? Raise your hands. That's interesting. There's more guys in here than girls. Hey, girls, there's more guys in here than girls. More on that, though. We do have a point on this coming up. But this is important because if you see somebody, for example, and you say, well, she's cute, or he's handsome, or he's whatever you girls say, that eye catch that you saw, that's not sin. I love the Lord and I think she's cute, but that must be sin. No, God put that in you. Isn't it amazing how God is? Not everyone is cute to you. Did you know that's from God? There's a certain person that you may see her or him across the room and say, hey, wow. And you might ask your friend, isn't she cute? He'll say, where? Who? Her right there. That's a God thing. You don't need to go to confession or repent of that. That's a God thing. God has made us to be a creation that's attracted to other people. God designed that. It's not a bad thing. But listen, before you hand the keys to your heart over to them, there's a certain thing that you ought to be careful about. And that is this thing about attraction. You need to stop and ask the Lord to govern over your relationship. Now watch this, and I'm mainly talking to the guys. And keep that quote up there on the screens for a moment. This is an important thing. If you see her and she's cute and you're a Christian and there's a high probability, let's say it's at church, you think she might be a Christian. Listen, what you want to do is in making your way over to her to introduce yourself or whatever, you drop your Bible in front of her or you trip or whatever thing you do to get her attention. What you want to be careful about always, and this is free advice, mark it down, is Lord, if this attraction's from you, I'm going to ask you, Lord, to bring that to pass. And look at the quote. Lord, she's cute or nice or smart, whatever is attractive to you. Listen, is she for me? Ask yourself in the very relationship that could be, is she for me? If so, Lord, open the door for us to meet. And Christian, here's the amazing thing. The Christian does not have to knock doors down. If God is in it, trust God to do it. Now, that doesn't mean you see her or you see him and you run in the opposite direction saying, well, if it's from God, she's going to tackle me from behind. That's not what that means. But it also doesn't mean that you run up and make it grossly obvious either. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get an amen from the ladies on this, I would think. There's nothing wrong with a man coming up and saying, listen, I saw you from across the room. My name's Jack. How are you? And have you been coming to Calvary long or whatever the setting is? Somehow break the ice that way and trust in the Lord. Christians, you need to trust God for your relationships. But attraction is normal. Genesis 29:17. Rachel was beautiful, says the Bible, of form and appearance. Now, when Jacob saw her, he loved her. So Jacob told Laban, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Man, she must have been really attractive to him. He served Laban, her dad, for 7 years. And they seemed, listen, ladies, it seemed only but a few days to him because of his love for her. Oh, that's amazing. He loved her so much. But notice, when he saw Rachel, he went, wow, she is beautiful both in form and appearance. He was attracted to her. But it can't be the only reason why you initially go out on a date. It cannot be the only reason. And yet the world out there, it's all about looks. It's all about that. And let me tell you something. We should all know this by now, but just in case, looks, you know, you've heard the old saying, looks is only skin deep. And young people today go, what a stupid statement that is. Looks only skin deep. Looks are everything. Hey, listen. You can be with the cutest little thing in the universe, and if he or she's got a bad attitude, they get ugly fast. They get ugly quick. We are more than that. The Bible makes it very clear that God has created us body, soul, and spirit. There's the totality. So guys and gals, listen up very carefully. When you enter into a relationship, if it's solely based upon appearance, then it's not going to last long. It's going to be extremely hyper regarding emotion, but it won't have any root to it. It'd be like a weed that shoots up but has no depth, and it will eventually perish. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a godly or a faith-filled man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The amazing thing about Psalm 37:23, it reads this way. The steps of a godly man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his or her way. Did you hear that? God wants you to succeed as a single, and when you date somebody toward marriage, because that's eventually where it's going to happen, God is for you. Just do it God's way. He made you. He made the person you're interested in. He knows what makes them tick. He knows. Listen, being a Christian and finding your mate, number two, is looking at this. The closer the relationship, the greater the ministry. Can you write that down? Remember you raised your hands a moment ago? Christian, listen up. All important. The closer the relationship, the greater the ministry. You say, Jack, I'm not ordained. I'm not in the ministry. Oh, yes, you are if you're a Christian. And guess what? Guess where that ministry begins? With the person you meet. Ministry doesn't begin in the church. The ministry that takes place in your relationship brings you into the church of more public ministry. Check this out. You say, Jack, that's ridiculous. I don't need to hear this. Hang on. And you ladies, listen up carefully. You'll be very happy about this, I think. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I know you think that you want to be alone. God says, men don't like to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken out from Adam, he made into a woman, and he brought her to Adam, or to man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the Bible says, verse 25, and they were both naked. I just thought I'd throw that in there because of the topic tonight. They were both naked in front of each other, ordained by God. They were not ashamed, and they were walking before the Lord. And when Adam saw Eve, he said, woman, woman. And God brings Eve to him, and it's all under the understanding, it's not good for me to be alone. And listen, girls, you were not made from the heel of man. You were not made from the elbow of man. You were made from the marrow, the DNA, as close as you can get to the human heart, to man. And I think that's awesome. My kids have said in the past, well, men are so utilitarian. They're just ugly looking. Men, I mean, look at them. There's men. Here, carry the groceries. Take out the trash. Men. And then God made woman second. Now, I'm sure every guy in this room would agree that on the second time around, God made a better deal. God did a great job. So different, so amazingly opposite in every way, perfect engineering, and yet God says when you bring them both together in body, soul, and spirit, there's an amazing completion that takes place for every man and woman that cannot happen any other way. Any other way, it's impossible. You know why people write books, men are from Mars, and what's that book? Men are from Venus, Mars, women, whatever it's called. Why is the opposite? Why is it when he says, hey, let's do this, she says, I want to stay home? Why is it when he says, I want Italian, and she says, I want Mexican food? What is the deal? What is the difference? God made us to be different. Why? Listen, are you ready? God didn't create us to get married and to have a mate to make us happy. I know that sounds bad. Let me finish. We have got this concept that God has done what he's done. It's all about me and my happiness. Listen, when somebody says, I can't live without you. Stop right there. Are you a Christian? Yes, but I can't live without you. You got the wrong guy. You got the wrong girl. Because if he or she cannot live without you, then listen, you are an idol in their life. Now, some girls might say, that's what I want. No, believe me, you don't. Believe me, you don't. Lisa and I are celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary this year, and you don't want that because listen, trust me, after 30 years, now she looks better tonight than she did the day I married her. And just, I was going to say, take a look at her, but she's my wife. Look at somebody else. But she's just over the top. She has to put up with me. She's the one that's got to be able to discipline herself and say, you know what? That's right. Beauty's only skin deep. I love Jack for deeper things, you know, because all that stuff fades away. But the stuff that God has engineered for us is to come together in a very deep and meaningful relationship. And again, the world's going to tell you different. The world is going to say, there's so many men or so many women in such little time. That's a perfect way to wind up in hell. That's a great way to destroy your life or get a disease or all of the above. You don't want to do that. There is not hope. If that's true, listen, if that's true, Hollywood should be the location of the happiest people on earth. Please think for a moment. It's not the answer. The truth is, God didn't bring us together to make us happy in marriage. He never said that anywhere. He brought us together in marriage to make us holy or complete or total. Therein comes the happiness. You see? When people say, I can't live without you, you make me so happy, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, I've got to have you. Listen, do you know how much pressure there is? I'm the greatest thing that's happened in your life? That's right. That's too much pressure for anybody to live under. We will let you down. We will fail. But he never fails. Always, always him first. Why? Because your spouse-to-be in the future, God has ordained for you to minister to. This is key. Note this. Purpose. The Lord, listen, is this relationship, you would say, Lord, is this relationship going to honor you? If so, Lord, open the door for us to see the purpose for this relationship. Are you interested in somebody tonight? Lord, ask him, is this relationship going to glorify you, God? Is it going to be a relationship of purpose? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, listen, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what communion has light with darkness? We would say today, can oil and water mix? And what accord has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Christians are to marry Christians. Why? Because marriage is a spiritual issue. Listen, when people come together and they're spiritually divided, you're setting yourself up for just a tremendous, terrible start. And most often, in fact, it's almost certain that the person who, as a Christian, violates the word of God, becomes unequally yoked with a non-believer, that non-believer almost inevitably pulls that Christian down rather than that Christian pulling that person up. There are exceptions, but they're rare. And so many times people say, well, Pastor, I don't know how I got into this relationship. I've been married 15 years. It's been miserable. Were you a Christian when you got married? Yes. Was he a Christian? No. And you have a tremendous fallout from all of that. If you're a Christian tonight, your relationships and your marriage are ministries ordained by God. Have you seen him or seen her and you're interested in them or you're dating them now or maybe you're even engaged now? Listen, that is ordained by God as a ministry. Don't you dare go into a marriage thinking that it's not going to be a ministry. See, what do you mean by this ministry thing? Well, here you go. How can I know if she's the right one for me in this ministry stuff or if he's the right one? Write this down. Number one, does she love God more than me? Or does he love God more than me? Ask. look at their life and say, this is the person you're getting involved with now. You're really, really thinking, hey, you know, I really like them. I really want to be with them. Ask yourself this question. Does that person that I'm interested in love God more than me? Ladies and gentlemen, you want them to love God more than you? That is how they will be faithful to you. Because if they love you more than God, inevitably, okay, they will become unfaithful. Because you will not be the anchor to keep them committed in a holy walk, in a faithful walk. Lisa has always told me for 31 years, married 30 years, we were engaged for a year. Lisa always said, as long as you fear God, I have total trust and confidence. She always said, as long as you fear God, I have total trust and confidence. I love that. By the way, she told me that when she was 18 years old. 18 years old. I heard that from an 18-year-old. It's like, what? That's deep. Number two, is she or is he serving the Lord? Are you interested in somebody? Yep. Are they serving the Lord? You say, why is that important? Oh, believe me, it's important. Are they serving the Lord in some capacity? Number three, are others benefited in their walk by her or by him? Do other people, are they blessed by that potential mate in their Christian walk? That's an important thing. Very, very important. I'm not making this stuff up. Number four, does his or her Christianity impress you? Can you look to the girl that you're dating or the man that you're dating or engaged to and say in your heart, in your mind, I want to be more like him or like her? And listen, if you can't say that, then just stay engaged. And don't get married. But we already ordered the flowers. Don't do it. But we've got the date picked. Don't do it. Listen, wait, and ask God to speak these things to your hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, come on. This is your life we're talking about forever. Don't make the mistake. Too many Christians have made a mistake in this area. That person in your life is the one you will be serving for the rest of your life. Wow. I think I can say this. I don't think she's here tonight. My daughter, Rebecca, my oldest daughter, we were taking a tour of Israel with all of you. And for those of you who were with us on that trip, her first day, she's in the front of the bus with me. She's sicker than a dog. And we're a few hours into the tour. Okay, there's this and there's that. And we're driving along and... She starts hurling. She starts throwing up. And I'm trying to... I'm a sympathy puker. You know how that goes? I see people go and I got to go just right along with them. Let's all go. And so I'm looking away and she's sick. And if I remember right, she had a zit. She's sick. And Lisa's trying to hold her hair back. And the next thing I look over, and there's a guy in the aisle holding the barf bag on the bus and saying, I'm a LA County fire paramedic. Are you okay? What's the deal? Blah, blah, blah. And she's, leave me alone. I know. I want to go back to the hotel. And then, listen. At the end of the trip, that guy, at the end of the trip, not at the end of the trip, but at the end of the tour, we get home. The next day, he comes to the house and he says, I'm asking permission to take your daughter out. In the midst of all the chucking and all of this, you what? And he goes, yeah, I'm serious. Well, they've been married, I think, 3 or 3.5 years now. Listen, but how'd she look? She looked terrible. In her own words, I had a zit. I was throwing up. Listen, he came and got on his knees and held a barf bag. And listen, if you can find a mate that way, you say, yeah, but it was the Holy Land. Listen, miracles happen there. They happen everywhere. I'm dead serious. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Being a Christian and finding your mate, thirdly, mark it down. It's a matter of making up your mind. Now, let's just all grow up. I mean that lovingly. Let's just grow up. Let's stop thinking that love's a feeling. It's very, very ridiculous. We start thinking, well, love is this music begins. That's how it's in the movie. The music begins, goosebumps, and everything, you know. Listen, that's infatuation. Love comes after that. And infatuation's fine for a day or two. But love's different. We got to decide to make up our minds. This word applies. Discipline. We need to discipline our minds. Mark this. Lord, is this relationship from you? If so, then cause us to see you in it at all times. If not, then dissolve this relationship in an honorable way. And God will do that. If there are two Christians who have think they're meant for each other and it doesn't work out, God, that doesn't have to be bloody and ugly and mean and nasty. That's wrong. It's not Christian. If God doesn't want it, it can dissolve peaceably and lovingly in the Lord. Very important. But if it's from him, he'll confirm it. Now mark this. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How many of you know that that's in the Bible? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just do it. Okay, here it goes. And lean not to your own understanding or your boyfriend or girlfriends that you know. Hey, John, what do you think about her? Forget what John thinks about her. What does God think about her? Susie, do you think he's cute? What do you think? Forget what Susie has to say. What is God saying to you about him? Very important. Don't lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and the Lord will direct your path. This is awesome promise of God. That's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Like everything meaningful in life, it's going to take a decision. You will decide, I'm going to do this. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you should love one another as I have loved you. It's a commandment. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Church, listen, that's a decision we make. I will obey his command. And what is it? To love one another. This is important. Love, marriage, is a willful, deliberate decision. It's not a feeling or an emotion or a concept. You see, you've heard some people be in love with the idea of marriage. That's not love. Love is this person I'm attracted to. Now this person, we've got things in common. We've got things, we're growing together. I respect him. I respect her. This is a person that I want to possibly live the rest of my life with. We're en route further to what's going to become of this relationship. And you make a willful decision. And for some reason, women understand this more than men. And that's it. I've made that commitment. It's a decision. You'll not hear this from Hollywood. You're not going to read it in any tabloids or romance novels. It is a decision rather than the way the world would have it to be painted. It's a discipline of mind. This is a man. This is a woman. I do not want to get away. They're that important. But once that commitment is made and marriage is en route, it's to be kept and honored and invested in and maintained. Point number two tonight is this. Being a Christian in your relationships, being a Christian and being the love of their life. Being the love of their life. Remember Tina Turner saying, what's love got to do with it? Remember that? Anybody in here? Old? Like Tina Turner? Old? She's saying, what's love got to do with it? I'm not going to sing it, but what's love but a second-hand emotion? Tina Turner does not know anything about what love is. It's not an emotion. Love is a willful decision that this is what I'm going to do. And when you make the decision, and I know, listen, when you have that understanding, this is the love of my life, guess what? There is the risk of getting hurt. That's life. Talk to Jesus about that. He loved you so much and got crucified for it. And you and I didn't love him right at the outset, did we? We put him through a lot of grief. Love is alive, it's vulnerable, but love is also very powerful. And these three things we need to know about it. Being the love of their life. If you're going to get married, listen, both of you together need to be the love of each other's life. Okay, and you can observe that, and here it is. It means that you respect them above all others. This is important. You can see how much somebody in a relationship respects the other. It's seen by how you treat them. How is your possible wife or husband treated by you? Secondly, it can be observed by how you hear them talk to them. How do they talk? if they say things like, what's wrong with you? And are you a lame whatever? And what do you think? You're going to get married and it's all going to go away? Do you think it's going to get better when you get married? No. How do they talk to? And it's very, very important. By the way, the definition of respect in the English version of the Bible appears as honor them, to prize them, to hold them in high regard. Listen to this. It means to hold them to the light, to hold them up to the light. But the definition of that's different than what you're thinking. You mean hold them to the light so I can see all the flaws in their character and all that stuff? Nope. It means hold them to the light that, listen, between you and the Lord is this person that you've given your heart to, and you simply see their silhouette. You don't see their faults, you just see them. Isn't that beautiful? Because you've presented them to the Lord. You've held them up in the right light. To see them as God sees them. And in the context of being single, as we're talking about tonight, to respect them. You cannot separate respect for somebody when you're single and sexual temptation. Sexual temptation and respect, they go hand in hand. If you're attracted to them, it's natural that you're going to be sexually tempted regarding them. What do you do about that? This is very important. Sexual temptation is a woman's personal battle to take to the Lord. The culture, the world that you and I live in, if someone's tempted, they say, hey, babe, I want you. Like they're under obligation. Oh, you must be tempted. That's right. Well, listen, head to the showers, dude. Get out of town. Listen, go take a jog. What's the deal? No, our culture, it's all now. It's pleasure seeking. It's very hedonistic. It's carnal. And it's I want it and I want it now. Listen, zero respect toward that person that's being demanded. Zero. Young ladies, listen, zero. That guy is, I'm trying to be careful. That guy is listening to the wrong voice. There's hormones talking. And when you yield to the hormones screaming versus her sanctity and the respect of her, then listen, you've just showed the value or the devalue of her in your heart. And any man or any woman that gets that where, hey, come on. And if you say, no, I'm going to save myself for marriage because I want my marriage to succeed and I want to have nobody else's face in my mind when you and I are together for the rest of our lives, I want you and you only. If they say, what? What are you, some kind of a weirdo? Listen, it's time for you to say, thank you so much. Thank you. You are not for me. I'm dead serious. Listen, girls, I wish there were just girls in here right now. I'm telling you something right now. I'd tell you some secrets. The guy who loves you, he can be tempted and he can be pulling his hair out. But he won't touch you. He'll go, oh. Oh. Bink, bink, bink. Right. In fact, young lady, you should be blessed by his torment over this issue. Because he respects you so much that he honors you over his own demands. And the world has got it upside down and people are broken. And you can say to me tonight, Jack, you're nuts. I'm just going to do my own thing. All right. Come back in 3 years. Tell me how you're doing. I'm dead serious. I'm an old guy now. I've been married 30 years. Look, I can tell you this. I'm going to get paid if you listen to me or not. But listen to me on this. If I respect my date that I'm out with, I'll never violate her or him to satisfy my own temptation. Man, I tell you, read the Song of Solomon if you're old enough. That is one hot book. And she's getting all excited. She is getting excited. And you know what Solomon says? He says, calm down, sweetie. Calm down. Do not awaken love until it pleases or till it's the right time. Now, listen, you need to just go home. He tells her, you just need to go take a shower, young lady. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. A woman should be so protected that if she's tempted, you're her protection, not her vandalizer. If she says to you, you know what, I am going crazy right now. You're the cutest thing in the world and you're so spiritually wonderful and I just love, oh man. Oh, don't awaken love, sweetie, until it's the right time. Some guys are writing that down. That's a great thing to... No. Dead serious. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," that means you belong to God, "that you should abstain from sexual immorality." He told the church at Thessalonica, stop messing around. God's will for you now is to stop messing around. "That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel," that's their body parts, private parts, "in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles or non-believers do who don't know God. That no one should take advantage or defraud his brother or sister in this matter," the matter being sexual issues and conduct. Do you really love him? Then listen, when you see him freaking out, help him out by saying, listen, let's just part ways. I'll call you tomorrow. And, you know, if you see her, listen, help her. But never, never, God says, don't take your body and commit it to sexual immorality. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Also this, being the love of their life means that we, listen, that we submit to them above all others. Hello? Submit. People get all nervous about this word. Submit. Oh, I'll do a wedding and I'll recite the vows. And I've done enough weddings now that when I'm doing the thing and I'm doing the vows, I'll look out in the audience. And do you today vow to submit to him? And before I even get the next line out, as he submits to Christ, they don't even let me get that far. The women in the service, they're going, what? Submit. Listen, there's a reason why God said this. By the way, when a woman has a man in her life who really, really loves her and she knows it, guess what? You never have to bring up the word submit, because she goes like this. And you say, what do you want to do tonight, sweetie? What do you want to do? Whatever you want to do. And you know what? For some of you have been burned beyond crisp and you're all torched out and hurt from throwing your relationships away, you're saying, that's ridiculous. I understand your response. That's because you've done it wrong all this time and you're all hurt. So you think, I'm not going to put my heart out there on the table again. And that's a tough thing to overcome. But in Christ, you can overcome that. But because of your silly decisions, don't think the word of God is null and void. No, God's got it down. And when a man really loves a woman, she will know it. And I have yet to see a woman who's loved like that. I've never seen her say, when he speaks to her and says, hey, you know, sweetie, let's this and let's that, she will always go along with it, because she knows he's talking to God and he loves her and she relaxes. And by the way, this is not in the study, it'll be for next week, but here's the deal. When a woman's loved like that, and she submits to her husband, listen, she will grow and go become a woman that she could never have been any otherwise, because God engineered it that way. A good, precious husband who loves his wife, she's excited to submit to him. And listen, here's the deal. Wives, submit to your husbands. The word means to watch, to go down to or to bow down to in submission. Again, you're saying, listen how quiet it is in here. See? But listen. Never lose picture of this. I should have drawn a cartoon tonight so you had it. If he lifts her up and extols her high and loves her like she needs to be loved, guess what? She's got to bow down to him just to get eye level with him. Because she's so high up. She comes down at eye level because he keeps lifting her up. You have a woman like that in your life, and she will grow and go become the woman of God that he's made her to be, and you'll be the happiest man on the planet. Trust me, I'm telling you now. It's amazing. Here's the deal. Ephesians 5:21, very, very rarely quoted verse. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's written to husbands and wives. Or how about this? Husbands and wives to be. How about this? The person that you are growing this relationship up with. First word, it says submit to one another in the fear of God. That's both of them. How's that? That's cool. Now check it out. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. He's not the Lord, but as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, Also, Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. We're going to get a deeper answer on this in a moment. Check this out. It is awesome. If this man is to love his wife like Christ loved the church, notice this, he's the head. You ever see my big fat Greek wedding? Great line. But mama, he's the head of the house. And she goes, he may be the head of the house, but I'm the neck. And the neck can turn the head any way it wants. That's cool. That's cool because that's how it ought to be in a way. Because the word head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, the word means that he, the man, like Christ, is the first one to be sacrificed by giving his life for the welfare of the church or the wife. He's the first sacrifice. If a bad man knocks on the door, no man says, honey, get the door. He gets the door. He's the first one to be sacrificed. And listen, that could very well be in other areas as well. Very important. Thirdly, under this second point, being the love of their life means that you affirm them above all others. Have you noticed I've been saying above all others? If you talk to your secretary better than you do your wife, you're messed up. If you respect that guy at work more than your husband, you're messed up. Say, Jack, you don't know my husband. Listen. Boy, I tell you, stay tuned for the next few weeks because I'm telling you something. There's a book out there. There's two books. One's for the husband and one's for the wife. It's called The Power of a Praying Husband and The Power of a Praying Wife. If any of you are single, buy it now. Or just wait a few weeks. We're going to have it on sale here at the church for cost. Get it. It's going to be the book of the month for February. Unbelievable. It's so biblically based. But the power of a praying wife. You don't like your husband? I don't like my husband. Well, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Then you know what? You've got one thing to do. Start praying for him. Plus, watch what happens to him when you start praying for him. God will get his attention. You might say, I didn't know if he's going to do it that way. God will do it any old way he can to get his attention. It's an awesome, awesome series of books. Pray for him. Pray for her. But affirm them. Your husband, your wife should know by vocal and by actions of your affirmation. The Bible goes on, Ephesians 4, verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church, here it is, and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her. Every wife should be sanctified by her husband. That is, she should know that she's set apart. She should know that she's absolutely special. And cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Husbands, more on this next week. Wives, more on this next week. But how's your marriage? Are you washing each other in the word? We'll talk next week how to do that. That he may present her to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives, even as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Guys, do you want to be happy?
Yes.
Love her immensely. You'll be happy. God says. Isn't that amazing? Point number three, and we'll end on this final point. Being a Christian and managing your resources. Now, this is going to get kind of hot under the collar and convicting, and then we'll come to a screeching halt and you can leave. Managing your resources. Listen, I'm speaking predominantly to the singles here tonight. Managing your relationship and your time. Managing your relationship and your time. Please listen carefully to this. Amplified version of the Bible, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in full view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after the and adapted to the external, superficial customs of this world, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Amplified version, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Managing your relationship and your time. When you look for a husband or a wife, look for a person who's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Statistically, listen to this. The bulk of ministry in any church, I know it's true here, there's exceptions, but the bulk of ministry in any church regarding who's doing the doing falls statistically within a range of 35 to 55 years of age. Did you know that? From 35 to 55 years of age are the predominant lay leaders and ministers of the church. Listen to this. By far, that those who minister are those who have found to be young parents of children or parents of young children, full-time dads, single moms. Again, those from about 35 to 55 years of age. Why? Why is it that those who are usually more senior in their careers, 35 to 55, are the ones serving? Those who have young children are serving? That doesn't make any sense. Dads and moms serving? Interesting. Predominantly in churches, singles who are self-centered on their singleness don't serve. They don't go to the mission field. They don't become ushers. They don't become lay leaders. You know why? Listen, if this shoe fits, wear it. Or I should say, take it off. If you find yourself tonight being a single person and you've got time, in fact, you call friends, what are we doing next week? What are we doing? Oh my goodness. You need to give your time to God. And you expect to find a godly mate when you are not pursuing the things of God with your time? Oh my friend, listen, devote your time to God in your singleness and watch what happens. This is very, very important. Very, very important. Number two, mark it down. Managing your relationship and your money. Managing your relationship and your money. Most singles have more money available to them to do or to invest or to tithe or to serve. But singles are tempted, even Christian singles are tempted. Hey, let's fly to Frisco this week for lunch or whatever. What are you talking about? Well, I can do it. Of course you can do it, but is that what Jesus would have you to do? Are you supporting missionaries? Are you helping out? Again, this is convicting for a lot of people. Now, I'm going to share some stuff with you that's personal to make you feel better and make me feel worse. When Lisa and I first met, we were Christians. She was going to First Baptist Church of Anaheim. I was going to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. We met at Orange Street in Newport Beach. She was going to the store, and I was playing volleyball. Middle of the day, summer. And we were engaged for about a year, got married. But during that engagement, listen, my first time of bringing her to a Sunday morning service at Costa Mesa, it was our first date to a Sunday morning. Our first date was to a Monday night. I took her to a Monday night service. But on a Sunday morning, I took her to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. It's a true story. And the plate went by. They passed the plate. And I just passed it to the next guy. And she said, listen, we've only known each other for a week. And she goes, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? She goes, you didn't tithe. And I go, yeah, hello, look around. They got enough money here. She goes, that's not what it's about. You're supposed to tithe. The Bible says you're supposed to tithe. She said, I've been tithing since I was 5 years old. You're supposed to tithe. You just ripped God off. What? What are you talking about? Malachi chapter 3. How have you robbed God? You've robbed God, it says in Malachi 3, by withholding your tithes and offerings to the Lord. I'm thinking, man. Here's the My emotions said, I'm not taking her out again. But the Holy Spirit said, you better listen to her. And this is my wife. Remember, I married her. She was 18 years old. She said, here's the deal. When we get married and we get our paychecks, we sit down and we fill out the deposit slip. We deposit that money and we sit down and we write a check to the Lord first. Listen, true story. Then we open up our bills. And then we pay our bills. And when we're done paying our bills, then we buy food. And if there's anything left over, then you take me out. You guys, do you see why I married her? Do you see that? That's a woman of God. She trusted the Lord to fill our refrigerator somehow. But he got his. The Lord got his first. Then those who we made a covenant with by signing the contract or the credit card or with the car payment got theirs next. Then we ate what's left. Her concept of putting God first immediately puts us as a young couple totally in the hands of God. And I'm telling you, I look back now after 30 years, I thank God that that's the way that this home has gone. And it wasn't because of me. It was because of her. Listen, any time you see someone say, hey, listen, let's get married, but this will be your checking account and this is mine. Look, if I was a girl, I'd say, and you want this? You want me to share my body with you and you want to keep your money separated? Where's the trust? I think it's wrong. You may write me a letter. Pastor Jack, I don't like you anymore. Join the club. Listen. You want to share the rest of your life? We're Christians. Praise the Lord. But you go on separate vacations and you have separate bank accounts and you're supposed to be one in Christ? Give me a break. That's insane. Listen, if you guys need financial training, the church can help you with that. That may be fine. Well, she just blows money. Then listen, if she blows money, maybe you're the one blowing the money. But listen, let's put God first and let's get you fixed on that. But don't you think for a minute that you're going to be married and you have a separate life over there and you got your separate life over there. And then you're blaming him or blaming her for some separate life in other areas? Oh, no way. You say, man, you are an old guy. I'm telling you something. One, coming together as one. You young people who are not married yet, listen. Anybody wants to keep their life separated from you and they want to be married? No way. How can you trust them? If you can't trust them in the littlest things of nickels and dimes and decimal points and dollar signs, how will you ever trust them when they're away for 2 weeks in Chicago on a sales trip? Give me a break. Final point is this. Managing your relationship and your priorities. Before you ever commit to a relationship, you need to examine that other person's priorities. What really drives them? Benjamin Franklin said, before someone gets married, they should keep both eyes wide open. Then after marriage, they should keep one eye closed. Now, that's not a really great quote for what I'm talking about, but if you translate that into grace, I understand that. None of us are perfect. But what are your priorities? Are you hearing from her? Are you hearing from him? Hey, sweetie, you know what? I know we can't go to Africa right now to help those kids or take the radio station around the world or whatever it is. Or, you know, but I tell you what, let's give a nickel. Let's give 10 bucks. Let's give 50 bucks to help. I want to see a kid in Africa get clothes for the year. And I'm going to do that through my church. You start talking to a man or a woman like that, you got somebody good on your hands. And you want to hang on to them. So next week we'll get into part three of this. And that is life in the Bible, being a Christian in your home. That's going to be fun. But again, I'm going to ask you, if you have young children, put them in the children's ministry next week. Because we'll talk about things, about communication, about finance, we'll talk about sex, we'll talk about things in the marital relationship, and it's going to be good. So, Father, we thank you for your word. It's incredible. It's awesome. And Father, we pray right now for those that are single, Lord, that you would allow them, first of all, to see their incredible value in you, that how much you hold them dear. And Lord, we live in a culture that is so godless and wayward. There may be a people here tonight, maybe many people here tonight, that have been abused, maybe sexually. And they have always struggled with self-worth and value. And they have struggled not understanding, not knowing how and why it's not right to give themselves to someone in their older age, and the confusion of all that. And your power is here right now tonight to heal them and bless them. You love them. Father, for those that are carrying guilt and shame, you're the Redeemer. You're the one that lifts it away. And how many of us tonight can say, thank you, Jesus, for that? Wow. It's awesome that through Jesus, we can become virgins again, all over again. You're so good to us. And Father, tonight, if there's anyone here that is just tonight thinking, man, you know, I want to have a relationship that's right and godly. And Father, I pray that you'd give them patience to obey your word, to trust you. Lord, that no one who may view themselves as getting older jump from the frying pan into the fire thinking that God's not answering, so they're going to make their own decision. Oh, no, Lord, please comfort them. And Father, tonight, for those that are engaged or maybe seriously together with someone, that their relationship would be holy. And maybe tonight it hasn't been holy. But tonight they would agree, you know what, we're going to make it holy tonight from this moment on. And you'd give them a heart of agreement. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they are in agreement? And then, Father, tonight, those that are married, we pray, Father God, that you would just prepare us, mold us, make us, and shape us into witnesses and examples that these single people would say, I want a marriage like that. And therein, Christ is honored. Father, thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would, as we close in this song of worship tonight. And